Alex Mitchell, Thomas Pynchon, Vineland, pages 214 through 217. This scene seems to mark a definite beginning to Frenesi's complete submission to Vaughn. Frenesi believes that she can change Brock into the man he should have grown into. It is interesting that she imagines seeing this idealized Brock through the lens of a camera, which is how she first viewed him. However, the camera is a weapon that allows one to shape and idealize what is being filmed into a new reality, and the sinister end to this chapter reveals that this real Brock is impossible. He will only exist as the epitome of oppressive fascism for the rest of the novel. The relationship between Vond and Frenesi represents the psychological mechanisms of fascism that many of the characters fear is happening in the United States. While Vond is the fascist dictator who requires absolute control and domination, Frenesi, the oppressed and controlled subject, is strangely seduced by the opportunity to relinquish all the difficulties of control. She describes her submission. She had lost just too much control, and she was so swept and helpless. She describes her future as a river, meaning that it would just be easier for her to be carried along by Brock's current than to fight against it. And in a way, this comforts her. This seems to represent an illusory freedom of fascism. The idea that one is freed from the stress and uncertainty of making one's own decisions when one submits to the absolute control of another. This seemingly easier solution of submission is also quite present in the American fascism of the tube. The Thanatoids submit to the television, over which they have no control. Describing his situation, Weed says, "Trying to nudge if you don't think it's moving along fast enough, but basically helpless, and if you give into it, depressed too. Watching TV takes no effort and allows for no human agency. The viewer is at the mercy of what the tube projects. While it is easy to give into this submission, as the Thanatoids show, and as the destructive nature of Frenesi's relationship with Vond also reveals, this illusory freedom of fascism is actually a mindless coercion which strips one of all identity and self." The last paragraph of this chapter seems to represent the terror of fascist control and surveillance over the state. Frenesi sees that Brock is asleep, and physically and emotionally she allows herself to submit to him further. However, his eyes have been open the entire time and he's been watching her, invisibly, from behind the shadows. Here Vaughn seems to be representing a big brother type, an all-knowing, all-seeing, inescapably oppressive government. Throughout the novel, many of the characters are constantly running from the government, or Vaughn, in a state of blind paranoia. This paranoia is the result of the government being able to shine light upon and make visible everything that its citizens do, while its own perspective hides unseen in the shadows. In a way, Vineland is a dystopian novel. Yet what does it mean that Pynchon is writing about a real nation and a real history, rather than an imagined society of terror? Frenesi's scream, and Vaughn's subsequent laughter that ends this chapter, reveals the sadistic nature of this fascist relationship, of which, in Vineland, sexuality is inseparable. At the beginning of this passage, Frenesi says that men kill each other because they can't love each other, yet both acts, death and love, are done by forcing things into each other's bodies. All of Vaughn's pleasure is derived from controlling others and asserting his own power. He is constantly aroused by this fascist empowerment, and, like a gun, he seems to point his penis at whatever or whoever he wants to oppress. In the storm in this passage, which ominously represents the evil and absolute power of Vaughn and fascism, the funnel cloud, its tip not yet touching the earth, swung slowly, deliberating, as if selecting a target below, is like a gun or phallus, being pointed at whatever it wants to be forced into. Correspondingly, Frenesi is attracted, both sexually and emotionally, to Vaughn's merciless dominance. What should we make of this fascist model of sexuality? Is Pynchon creating a sexual relationship which parallels the workings of fascism, yet is purely the result of the psychology of these specific characters and the events of their past? Or is he saying more, suggesting that fascism itself is rooted in an inherently sadomasochistic mindset? While Vond is working for the government and his goal is gaining power, much of this endless quest for dominance seems to be based more and more on personal agenda. Is Pynchon also suggesting that fascism, because of its dictatorial rule, is a government inherently motivated by the leader's self-interest, and is this what he believes is happening in America? Another idea I wanted to touch upon is the way in which seeing people as children relates to this fascist dynamic of dominance and submission. In this passage, we get Farnese's point of view. Life is soldiering. That soldiering includes death, that those soldiered for, not yet and often never in on the secret, are always, at every age, children. To what extent is Farnese a child who needs to submit and be controlled by a father? Is this a result of her earlier life, and does this help explain why she is unable to be with her daughter Prairie? Vaughn thinks that the rebellious youth desire to be children forever, children who require, and even desire, discipline. At the same time, in what ways is Vaughn merely a child trying to play the part of an adult? To what extent are many or all of the characters in Vineland trying to escape that adult life of soldiering, which includes death?